to meet those needs. I truly believe that we were part of the answer for Hannah Sines Overton being released from prison, life without parole, and she's in ministry today, and we gave her the refuge, and she's bringing ladies in as soon as she gets everything together over there, and we are part of that. Why? Because we held on to God in intercession and prayer and said, oh, no matter what they say, here's what we're going to believe for. And it looked like there was no possible way. And even when the Court of Criminal Appeals reversed her case, the district attorney said, well, I'm going to try her again. And finally, after much prayer and being able to be released on bond, which I was there to be part of that hearing, that the district attorney called and said, I'm not going to prosecute. And said, you mean the defense attorney said, then it's over? Said, yeah, I'm through. And she's a free woman today. Not only that, but the state of Texas is having her come into these prisons, not just for services, but for a panel to discuss prison reform, because she was inside, and there's things that need to be changed, and she's part of the change. And how'd that happen? Because of prevailing prayer. And we have been part of that. Now, I want to tell you something about prayer. Of course, I can say we need to pray, and you'll all say amen. And so it's a duty that we perform. Is that right? But it needs to move from a duty to a desire, to where that just as you wake up in the morning and you want a cup of coffee, you want some cereal, you want something to eat, you want some eggs, you wake up with a desire for prayer. That it's not just saying, I hate that, but I guess I better go pray. No, it's not that. It's not a duty, but it's a desire. And I want to tell you something. After it becomes a desire, you'll get hooked on prayer. Boy, that's something to get hooked on, isn't it? And it would be a delight. It'll be a delight that you spend time with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You spend time with the God of Heaven. You spend time with someone that can in spite of ruling the whole universe, he can come down and be right with you in that prayer room, in that dwelling place right there. And it can become a delight to you. You see, there's prevailing prayer, which is pressing through. It's pressing through the things that are around us. There's a battle going on. I don't know about you, but it sure is. I just see the enemy fighting in every possible way. He's come to steal, kill, and to destroy. He wants to destroy the kingdom of God. His name is Satan. He is the devil, and he wants to destroy. But greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. And we can press through. We can pray through. We can have a breakthrough because of the prayer that we pray. And because in the power of the blood of Jesus, the power of the name of Jesus, we can do it. Hebrews 4:14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. It's okay to know that you're weak, because then you know who can make you strong. Verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can come there because we have the authority in the name of Jesus to come there, because we are not involved in a priest that is just of this world, but we have a high priest that is able to be able to take us into the Holy of Holies, as we sang about this morning. And we can hold fast. Now here's what it says. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And it says up here in verse 14, let us hold fast our confession. It's a confession of faith. Brother Jason was saying, are you ready to meet the Lord? See, when we know that we've got that confession of faith and that we have been able to say, I trust Jesus, forsaking all, I trust him, F-A-I-T-H, that we certainly have that confession of faith. We have that salvation. And it says here that if we hold fast that confession of faith, we will never deny him. There's a song we used to sing, I will not be denied, that we will not be denied. We never deny him, regardless of the trouble that comes our way. We will not deny him. You see, even in our today's world, people are getting beheaded, and are they going at the last minute say, oh, that's okay, I'll deny him? Usually they never do that, because they've already passed that. They've already died to themselves, and so at that point, well, they are just trusting that the living Christ is inside of them. We can approach that altar, that throne of grace, with confidence, because we know who is there, and we are able to do that. As we come to that throne of grace, then we need to come in repentance and faith. We need to come not playing games with God, but being able to say, I know that this is wrong in my life, and I want to hate it. I want to change. I want to turn away from it. And that's what repentance really is. And I want to then turn towards the Lord in faith and trust, and he will carry me all the way through. The throne of grace speaks of authority, that it's that authority that we have. It's an awe. It's a reverence that we have. It's the fear of God that we have in us. It's a place of finding mercy and grace, it says, to help us in time of need. And we are in a year of great need. I cannot predict. There's people that will try to predict. I cannot predict. But I do know that we are in a difficult time in our nation's history, and that we need to recognize that we need to be there and be calling upon the Lord. And we need to recognize that we are in need. This mercy that we receive at that throne, it pardons our sins. And the grace purifies our souls. Do you believe that with the blood of Jesus that we can be forgiven of all sin? In the work that I've done in prisons, I've had to come to realize that. I interviewed a young man one time, and when I first started, and he was very young. It was over at the Ferguson unit. And at that time, well, we tried to talk and have an interview with every person that wanted to come to Calvary Commission. And I was there out in the hallway, and they'd brought several inmates in for us to talk with. And so, I don't know, I don't usually do it, but I just said, well, what are you here for? What was your offense? He said, murder. And he was just about that tall. I thought, not you. And I said, I thought the next thing, I didn't really do it, you know. I said, oh, he said, yeah, I did it. It was a little old lady. And he said, but God has forgiven me. Said, he has cleaned me up. He has saved me. And I really saw the scripture that said, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. And I recognized that, yes, God does forgive. A while later, I was at the county jail, and I was there to visit someone that had requested a visit. I was director of Teen Challenge at the time. And I was talking to this inmate, and I said, is Becknell there? And I said, yeah, just a minute. Well, I just wanted to know if he was there. I didn't want to talk to him. He had just killed a college professor out at UT that week. I didn't want to talk to him. And he was right there in front of me at the window, and all I could say was, here's a book. Read it, you know. And I went that afternoon to Tyler State Park to a family gathering, and I was just not part of it. They were laughing, talking, you know, and having food, and I just slipped away and started walking around State Park. And I felt terrible, you know. I felt grieved because I did not have forgiveness in my heart. I did not have compassion for that soul. And all of a sudden, well, this old song began to come. Does it ever come to you that it's just like a tape recorder? It comes on and it's there. And I said, what is that song? And I started thinking, I know the tune. And here's what the words were. Yes, I know, I surely know. Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. Yes, I know, I surely know. Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I began to weep before the Lord, and I began to say, yes, Lord, I will trust your blood to forgive every sin. If there's repentance on the person's part, that you will forgive them. And so we recognize that it's that mercy seat. It purifies. It pardons our sin. It's where Christ reigns on the throne. We pray through. We break through. We go through the obstacles. We break the barriers into his presence. And at that point, then we can become listeners and not just talkers to God. We can become listeners. We can hear the voice of God, and we can respond in obedience to the voice of God. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. The New Living Translation says almost the same thing, but brings out another thought. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we'll share a meal together as friends. Isn't fellowship wonderful? You know what fellowship really is? It's mutual support. It's where that we support each other. It's when one is cut, the other one bleeds. And we all not just put a Band-Aid on it, but we take care of it. And we're there as the Good Samaritan was. And we're able to be there to hear the voice of God. To say, Lord, what now? What next? Do you want to be that friend of God that he's talking about? That we would be able to be his friend? James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. What does that mean? Well, let me ask you this. When you love someone, do you desire to be near them? What about it, husbands out there? You want to be near them? When you love someone, you want to be near them? As a little boy, we sing that song, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Do we? Do you desire to be near him? Can we come nearer to the Lord this day? Do you know what it means to be drawn to him? James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now, there's another part of that. If you want that nearness, because the Holy Spirit can be grieved away, he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So there is a need. If we're looking to get closer to the Lord, then we need to draw near to him. As we would start this year, we have to make those thoughts, God, I don't want it to just be another year. We say that we're either incline, decline, or recline. And in your spiritual walk, well, you're either going forward or you're going backward. There is no time for backsliding. There's no time for resisting God. There's no time for rebelling against the Word of God. We need to draw near to him. You might have heard of the Titanic. Brother James, you've preached on that here. The Titanic. And they said that as it was going down, the band on the ship struck up the song, Nearer, My God to Thee. Well, they were nearer than they thought, probably. And it's a well-known hymn, and it was supposed to be the last song that the band played on the Titanic. To be drawn near to him, to have that desire for more, to be in his presence, fullness of joy, at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. In 1875, before any of you were born, well, Fanny Crosby wrote a song. She was blind, but she could see the Lord. And the song says, I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Cerca más cerca in Spanish. And so we must have that desire. Lord, I want to be close to you. I love you and I want to be near you. Psalm 73:28 says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. It's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God. that I may declare all your works. So as we draw near to him, then we can get prepared for ministry. We can get prepared for evangelism. We can get prepared to go to the lonely, the lost, the little, the left out. So we can get prepared to go to Tent City, to homeless on the home on the street, Hope on the Street. That's a good name too. That we would be able to be there, because as we draw near to him, then we are able to share and to proclaim him, because we know him. Our need is to know him and make him known to others. But there's hindrances to drawing near. We need to look at those hindrances this morning to drawing near. Hosea 10 verse 12 says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord." It is time to seek the Lord. Can you just say that? Repeat that to me. Say it again. And just use your name and say, "It is time to seek the Lord." Joe, it is time to seek the Lord. I didn't hear any Joes out there, so I guess you understood what I meant. It is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Now, we've had a lot of physical rain, and we prayed for it. It's my fault, I know. But he says it's going to rain righteousness on you. That's a good rain. That spiritual rain is what we need. Jeremiah 4:3 says, "Break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns." And so there's that's an agricultural expression or illustration, but there is some powerful truth in that we'd sow in the right places so there would be a harvest. Jeremiah 4:3-4 says, "Plow up the hard ground of your hearts." This is New Living Translation. "Do not waste your good seed among thorns, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Surrender your pride and power. Change your hearts before the Lord, or my anger will burn like an unquenchable fire because of all your sins." Both of these are spoken by Old Testament prophets to the people of Israel. They had become hard. They had become lazy. They had become sloppy. They had become disobedient in their service to the Lord. And both of these passages have the same phrase, "break up your fallow ground," or "break up your unplowed ground." What is the fallow ground? What is unplowed ground? It's a ground that's hard, and it needs to be broken up. It's tillable, but if it's untillable, it's fallow ground. It's a land that could be productive. Our lives are meant to be productive for the Lord. For whatever reason, it had not been broken up, tilled, plowed, or prepared for planting. The prophets speak the word of the Lord, are commanding the people to break up that land spiritually. So if we're going to get near the Lord, if we're going to prepare ourselves for this year, we need to ask ourselves, what ground in my life is hard to where that it can't produce? It's not ready for planting. I'm not ready for the work of the Lord that he's given me. We need to have that land where that God can use our lives. The prophets observe two things about the fallow ground: that it's unusable and it's unused. It's wasted. It's there, but it's unused. It's wasted. And that can be our lives, that we are not able to do what God wants us to do. We're not ready. That's why that discipleship is so important, so that we can have that. It used to be the emphasis on evangelism. Then they said, wait a minute, we need to have first discipleship, then we can have evangelism, because we have to earn our right to be heard. We have to not just witness with words, we need to be a witness for the Lord, and we have to recognize that. So we see here that it won't let a crop grow. It's hard, and it prevents the seeds from penetrating up through there and germinating and growing to maturity. First the seed, then the blade, then the full corn in the ear, and that we recognize that we have got to break up that fallow ground if we're going to have the garden that the Lord wants for us. When it's time to put in the garden, we get out the plow or the tiller. We turn the soil over so that the seeds are able to get into it, let their roots grow down deep, water it, let moisture be found. And so Jeremiah is telling his hearers what we just said there, break up the unplowed ground. In other words, we're sowing seed, but because they didn't bother to prepare the soil and pull out the thorns, the seed had little effect. So what must be done to the soil if we're going to be ready for planting the Word of God in it? First of all, if it's got trees in there, we got to cut the trees down. In the original coming to America, they found that if they were going to plant corn, they had to cut down the forest first. And they would just take that and make houses out of the wood, but then they still had those stumps. You ever tried to get rid of a stump? It's very difficult. You must dig down and cut through the main roots with an axe, hatchet, chainsaw. Then you can attach a rope or a chain and pull it out with horses or oxen or a truck or a winch. Then finally you pile all the stumps together and burn them to clear the land. They do have a machine now, I understand, kind of like an auger or something. Some people have gone in business to remove stumps, and it's very, very difficult to get rid of the stumps. But the hardness must be broken up. What are the stumps in our lives? I say they're strongholds, but they can be removed. You don't have to have the same old, be the same person that you were. You need to reach out in hope and say, I'm going to get rid of those stumps in my life. I'm going to get rid of those strongholds in my life. What could it be? It could be hatred. As things happen in your life to where that you know that you have anger comes from hatred. And that anger, that spirit of anger that is there, you say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, if that's the way you are, that's the way you need to change, because that is not going to give you anything but continued heartache. Bitterness comes from unforgiveness. Is that a stump in your life? Rebellion against God, against authority and all authority. Lust, greed. The big one, living for self. A true change of heart will mean that you are no longer living for yourself. But 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, but living for the one who died and rose again. No longer living for yourself, but for the one who died and rose again. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The best altar call we could give is, who wants to give their life to Jesus today? Who wants to give it away to Jesus? No longer is yours, but you give it away. You let the Lord have your life. See, that's those things that bring hardness, and they must be broken up. Yes, you could go rent a tiller and maybe get some of that ground ready in your yard to plant some seed, but we're talking about the life. You can dig it one shovel at a time, but that's slow. You can harness it with cattle or horses or a horsepower. Let me see. Let me have those pictures up here. Look. Now, bless her heart. I don't know where her husband was. He must not have been the man. Maybe he got killed in the war or something. But she's out there, and the little boy's trying to guide the horse that is there. And you can look at that and say, man, that is hard work. But that is how that they were able to eat, because they planted the crops. But in the past years, without livestock, they would harness up themselves and pulled the plow while his wife or son guided the plow. Look at that. Now, wouldn't that be difficult? It takes energy to pull the plow, to guide the plow, to keep the row straight so the field can be plowed efficiently. And we recognize let me have that next picture. This is one of the hardest things I ever did. It was in India, Calcutta, and I just couldn't hardly stand. That was the only way we could get somewhere, and it was actually a human horse, you might say. And to realize that poor guy, that's how he made a few rupees Is that it, rupees? That he was able. It's a human rickshaw. There's bicycles. There's motorcycle rickshaws. Brother James and I have both been in those. But that's what was necessary. The man had to pull the plow. But I want to tell you, God will pull the plow in your heart. He will pull the plow. That Holy Spirit, the grace of God, that will be there to give you that opportunity to make a change in your life. But our part, we must direct it towards those hard places. We have to say, our hands are off. God, we want you to remove the hardness of my heart. We want you to remove the hatred, the bitterness, the rebellion, the lust, the greed, the living for self. We want you to remove the hardness there. And we direct God to those areas, and he says that he will deal with that, that he will get rid of that for you, that he will deliver. He's a delivering God. He will be able to do that. But the hard ground must be broken up. So just ask yourself this morning, is there hardness in my heart? Where is the hardness in my heart? Is it unbelief? Is it inner pain, inner hurt, a relationship in the past, father, mother, other members of the family? Have you sealed off an area of your life because it's too painful to touch? And yet, you have to come to reality in order to come to repentance and say, Lord, I need help. So we need to let God break up those old resentments and heal our old hurts. Is there a part of your life that you have never allowed to be cultivated or planted or harvested? You need to turn it over to God, the vine dresser, the great gardener. He will break up the fallow ground in our lives. He will give fruitfulness and harvest. Hosea 10:12 says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Break up the fallow ground. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts. Don't waste your good seed among thorns. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. If it's time to seek the Lord, then we must be able to call upon him. The unrighteous man, his thoughts, let him return to the Lord. He will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and bring it forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Here's the promise. You will go out with joy, be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the fields shall clap their hands. We recognize this morning that we have a part to play in this, that we are those that can break up the fallow ground. We are those that can listen to the voice of God. We can respond in obedience. We are able to have that opportunity as he knocks at the door of our heart. If anyone hears our voice and opens the door, he says, I will come in, and we'll share together a meal. We'll have fellowship together. Are you responding to the voice of God this morning? One couple more scriptures, and then we're going to let us respond to what God is saying this morning. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Could your prayer this morning be, Lord, search me. Lord, I want all that you have for me. It's a new year. I want to be able to walk with you. I want to be able to find that opportunity to be with you. Lord, I want to get near to you because I love you. Are we able to say that this morning? Jeremiah 29, 12 and 13. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will be found by you. So we have a promise this morning of what He will do if we will do. If we'll do what we can do, He'll do what He can do. Anna, would you come this morning? Let's stand. I want to leave time this morning for some response. If Jesus was standing here this morning, would you turn around and walk out the door? If Jesus was standing here this morning, would you be afraid to get around Him? Well, I want to tell you something. He is standing here this morning. He is standing here this morning. And I want to give you an opportunity to respond to this message. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning and we ask you, Lord, to take the word that was shared. Lord, expose the areas of our lives that need to be dealt with. Expose, Lord, let us be those that say, yes, Lord, search me. Search my heart, God. Open up my eyes that I may see. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to be able to be usable in this present age. I want to be able to help your kingdom come and your will be done, O Lord. I ask you this morning, Lord, to bring about in this place the nearness that we need to have, O God. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we pray. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never really given your life to the Lord. Jesus is here and He's waiting. He's waiting for you. He went to the cross for you. He gave His life on the cross of Calvary for you. He shed His blood for you. He loves you, but He's calling you to come to Him. He says, I'm knocking at the door of your heart. Will you hear? Will you come? Will you come to Him? What a great day would be for you to come to this altar this morning and say, I want to receive Jesus into my life. Just wait a minute. If that's you this morning, raise your hand. Say, I want to give my life to Jesus today. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward this morning. Pray with those that come forth. You want to draw near to the Lord this morning, the best place you can be is at this altar. Say, Lord, I want to give my life to you today. I want to have my need met. I want to draw near to you today. Lord, expose the hard places in my heart that I will be useful in your kingdom. Jesus, our Lord. Prayer team is here. If you've got a specific need this morning, come forth. Come and just share that need with these that are here to pray with you this morning. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Los hermanos Simpsons están aquí. Si quiere orar en español, ellos están aquí. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be Jesus. Make an altar wherever you are. Open up your heart to the Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Help us, God, this day. Help us, Lord, this day. Yes, we pray, God. Yes, we pray, Lord. Yes, we pray, God. Jesus, our Lord. Jesus, our Lord. Oh, Savior, come, Lord Jesus. Come into our hearts, oh God. Come in, we pray, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, our Lord. Jesus, our Lord. Precious God. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Crying out to you, Lord. We're crying out to you, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Let the Lord meet you. Let the Lord meet you. Let Him meet that need today. Let Him meet you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Clay Allen, would you come up and help us? Brother Clay has this ministry, free prayer. He's not going to charge you. He's praying with a lot of people. If you got a need, well, come up to Clay this morning. Bless the Lord. 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 Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Take me past the outer courts to the holy place.
Yes, Lord.
Past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Take me past the crowds of people and the priests to sing their praise. Lord, I hunger and thirst for your righteousness.
Let's sing it.
Take me into the
holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in
to the holy of holies. Take the blood, cleanse my lips.
Here I am. Cleanse us, Lord. Do your work, Lord. Yes, God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to live. Praise you, Jesus. Here I am. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, Lord God. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Do your work, Lord. Do your work, Lord, we pray. Oh, my Lord. My Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, God. To the Holy of Holies. Holy of Holies. That's where we worship Him. Spirit and truth. That's where we love Him with all of our soul. We love others as we love Him. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Oh, yes, Lord. Praise your name, oh God. Yes, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Our lips, here I am. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, God. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Press through the crowd and touch the hem of His garment today. He is ever ready to receive you. He's ever ready to receive you. Praise you, God. Oh, my Lord, oh, my Lord, praise you, Jesus, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Jesus. God is calling us to move forward. The kingdom of God needs us. We must press through. Yes, Lord. So draw near to Him in prayer. Draw near to Him in fellowship with the right ones. Draw near to Him in the Word. Let the Word of God, as the Scripture said, it will not return void. Let the Word of God come in into our hearts and our lives.
This scripture that Joe read in Hosea 10:12. I'm a bits and pieces kind of guy. I like it in small bites that I can grasp hold to, or I can get a word from. And I just want to just look at that scripture for a minute and for you to think about it something. And it says, sow righteousness for yourselves.
That's it.
It didn't say sow righteousness for God. It says sow righteousness for yourself. Yourself. You're going to receive the fruit of it. And then it says, reap the fruit of unfailing love. Or another version says, reap mercy. So we sow, we do the right thing. We do what we know to do that God puts in our heart. And the result is we receive mercy, or we receive unfailing love. But that's not all. Then it goes on to say, for then the Lord will come, and then He rains righteousness
Amen.
Upon us. Okay? Which means then He comes and does what we can't do. Because if we'll just seek Him and He shows us His mercy, then the end result is He comes in a supernatural way into our situation. And I don't know about you, but I need that. Amen? We need that. The Abneys need that. This church needs that.
Right.
So I just want to encourage you, you sow. You do the right thing. You know what God puts before you to do. You seek the Lord. Lord, what can I do? Because we spend so much of our time thinking, oh, I don't want to do that stuff. I don't want to. And we focus on the negative. Even like our brother was sharing during the offering this morning. You know, we want to focus on the negative. But the reality of it is we need to focus on, Lord, what do you want me to do? I know that without you, I'm a wicked man, and I all these things that come to me, and I fall in areas those. But what do I need to do? How do I need to focus my attention?
Lord Jesus, we do.
And when we do that, the Scripture says we receive mercy, and not only that, but then He comes and reigns in our situation. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I want God reigning on me and my life and this church. Amen.
Heart, a desire to follow you. Lord, not just religiously, but spiritually, Lord, personally, to be able, oh God, to bring about that change that He longs for in His life. For us to do it, Jesus. Lord God, guide Him, direct Him, oh God, that He can do the right things and have the right results, and He can have rewards us and consequences because of His right decisions. Give Him the grace that is needed to do that, Jesus. We pray, oh God. Yes, Lord. Believe in you to do it, Jesus. Believe in you to do it, Jesus. Can you say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today? To know that His presence is here and we've endeavored in every way to receive what He's wanting to give. And in no way to resist or to quench or to grieve away the Holy Spirit. I'm going to let you go. Stretch your hand this way. There's others still praying. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, His peace. Jehová te bendiga, te guarde, Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. I challenge you to take this church to the world around you. Take the church to the world around you. Take the church to the world. Go and find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Go and be hope and help to someone today. And let them ask you the reason for the hope that's within you and be ready to tell them why. God bless you. Have some fellowship. Have some coffee. Go by the coffee shop. All of our first-time guests, get that gift that we have for you.